Well, good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's good to see each and every one of you. Hey, kids got the cue. All right, that's good. Good job, guys. Have fun. Have fun. It is certainly glad that you've chosen to be with us today. If this is your first time with us or if it's been a while for you, my name is Chip Ward. I'm the new minister here at Lexington Christian Church. My wife and I are very glad to be here. We've been here since November 5th, and it has just been an awesome 2 months. We've really just appreciated everyone here at the church and the way you received us, the way you've just loved on us, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We really appreciate everything you've done for us. For those of you that don't know a little bit about us, we just moved from Illinois, where we planted a Christian church in the Elmhurst area, which was about 18 miles west of Chicago. And we were there for a little over five years. And during that time, we just felt that we accomplished what we needed to do there. And it was time to answer God's call. And when Lexington Christian Church was looking for a minister, God prompted us to move toward that and to answer that call for them. And we're just so glad to have the opportunity to serve with you especially at the end of this past year. Rodney kind of hinted at it, and John mentioned it a little bit too. 2017 was I guess you'd call it a gut check year, right? You know, it was a year for this church where it was a lot of transition, a lot of self-checking, a lot of just coming together under the banner of Christ and just really leaning on each other, leaning on God through this season. And I know God has just done some great things since then. And he's really moved in this church and done an amazing job. But now it's 2018. We're here now. And now we are going to celebrate how God is going to renew and refresh us in the Spirit of the Lord. I love what the Apostle Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. I just want to read this real quick for you as we get started today. It says, "Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago." And I do believe wholeheartedly that 2018 is going to be a year of refreshing for this church. It's going to be a restoring of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ through Lexington Christian Church. I truly believe in that God's going to pour down his favor. He's going to pour his generosity out to us as we just want to be an instrument of light to this community and just be a beacon of the good news of Jesus Christ for Henderson County. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing how God's going to do that. But for every church like ourselves, like including ours, it's important to be reminded of why we're here. So what is God's purpose for having Lexington Christian Church on this earth during the year 2018? Well, over this Sunday and the next 2 weeks, as John iterated, we are going to be looking at three phrases that you were introduced to earlier that make up the purpose and mission of why our church exists here for the body of Christ. So let's take a moment and pray over that, and let's ask God to just bless our time, to glean what he wants us to get out of today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take this moment just to come before you, pausing our lives, we can be doing a lot of things, but we've chosen to be here today. We've chosen to hear your word. We've chosen to listen to you and to hear what you have to teach us. Father, I pray now that you would just guide these words today, and for all of us, including myself, God, that we can just be open and honest of where we're at and recognize that you have us right where we're at, but you can't wait to take us further to where we're going to be. And so, Father, may we have faith and trust in that as we glean from your word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. Every single one of us gets excited about something new, right? I would hope so. If you don't, it's okay in that sense. But I think deep down, each and every one of us look forward to something new. So we're 7 days into the new year, right? And so I was looking online to see what's already transpired in 2018 in the last 7 days. I've looked through Google, I've searched Yahoo, I've done even Twitter, and these were a few things that stepped out to me and spoke. The first was that the first baby, did anybody look up to see who the first baby was born? According to one search, the first baby in 2018 was born 2 seconds right after midnight. And it was in the U.S. island territory of the Western Pacific. A little boy by the name of Logan James Lynch Perez. He was 6 pounds and 15 ounces, was born. And he considered the first U.S. baby. In Tennessee, the first baby was actually born in Nashville, at the Vanderbilt Hospital. And a couple other things throughout the week that were interesting. Some of these, I will admit, are sports related because there's some hot things going on right now in sports. A parade was thrown for the NFL's Cleveland Browns for having the perfect season. 0-16. And locking up the number one pick in the NFL draft for a second straight year. It reminds me of that commercial. I don't know if you remember it, where it was a guy named David Arquette, and I think it was an AT&T commercial, if I remember right, where he was bowling. It was all an intense moment. He bowls, and the ball goes in the gutter, and he says, "No score possible." Boy, you got to love Cleveland and their fans. We did have 2 famous deaths already in the new year. The brother of Dick Van Dyke, Jerry Van Dyke, passed away at the age of 87. And then a pioneer in the NASA program for astronauts and even walking on the moon, John Young, passed away at the age of 87 also. Then we found out earlier in the week that maybe some of you might know this name, John Gruden. For those of you that may follow football, he's returning to the coaching ranks after signing a 10-year, $100 million contract to coach the Oakland Raiders, who will next year be probably the Las Vegas something. Maybe they'll stay with Raiders. Who knows? But 10 years, $100 million. Wow. On that front, the Tennessee Titans came back from 18 points down to upset the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday, 22-21. And they're moving on in the NFL playoffs. And then finally, the college football national championship game is going to be an all-SEC matchup with Georgia versus Alabama tomorrow night in Atlanta. And I figured I'd have at least one person in the crowd say Roll Tide. That's why I'm going to represent the other side, which is why I wore my red and black and just want to say, hoo, hoo, sing them. The new year brings all sorts of new things, you know. And it also is a time where we want to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to try something new. And the most popular thing is weight loss, which I probably need to invest in at some point. But it also, there's money-saving tools that maybe we want to invest in, or even starting a new business venture. Companies and organizations start setting goals, probably the end of last year and this year, of wanting to do better than they did the previous year. So, I mean, there's a chance to always hit the reset button at the beginning of a new year. It really is. But at the end of 2017, if you look at it, for us, Lexington Christian Church, it was a good year. The end of last year was awesome. And a lot of great things happened, and now we want to take what we started and do something great with it in 2018. And to do that, it's always good to look at who we are supposed to be for the Lord and for His kingdom work. So for the next 3 weeks, including today, we're going to focus on 3 phrases. John introduced those phrases to you, so let's go ahead and put those up on the slide. Our mission here at Lexington Christian Church is to grow in Christ, serve in love, and make disciples. For a person who is a member of Lexington Christian Church, I strongly encourage you to memorize those 3 phrases. Because you are a part of making that mission possible. And we want to take time during the next 3 weeks to really glean and grow and what these phrases mean for our church going forward. And so we're going to take today and start focusing on the phrase, grow in Christ. So I'd like for you to take your Bibles, and if you have them, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 13 through 25. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible, but feel free along to follow along in your version. For our Spanish-speaking folks or anyone who knows a little bit of Espanol, feel free to read it in the bulletin in Spanish if you'd like. But right now, and the words will be on the screen as well, but we'd like for you just to take time right now to let's look about this phrase, grow in Christ. We're going to take the word grow, and we're going to break down to G-R-O-W, and we're going to take a look at the ways in which we can grow in Christ and fulfill our part of that mission statement at Lexington Christian Church in 2018. So let's read together as we get started. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by that obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. What a beautiful passage. There's a lot we're going to get out of this passage today. It leads right in the very first point, brought to us by the letter G. And it's this: gleaning from the word of God will always renew you. Gleaning from the Word of God will always renew us. Here's what I want you to understand. What I hold in my hand, right here, and what you hold, hopefully, is not just a book. It's not just something you just read words out of, just to be entertained. No, this is living and active. It is the living and abiding Word of God. Its living words have the power to still change, still influence people. There's a reason why the Bible was, and always still is, one of the best-selling books in the history of books written. And it hasn't been revised and edited in the sense of something completely changed out. It's continuing to be something that's continually changing lives for the best. And it's been through its share of adversity throughout generations. I remember even hearing one time where there was a season where people were trying to burn Bibles. And today we would just be outraged by something like that. But the Bible still always has risen out of the ashes to bestow truth and love to the ones who are seeking God. But what I love most about the Bible is the people that God used to make this incredible book come to life. That God would allow men and women to actually write these books. Comprised of 66 books, these letters have many stories of lives influenced by the Spirit of God. And what I thought I would show up to you today is charts of those books. So go ahead and let's put up the first one here if you can see this okay. There are, it's an alphabetical list of different ones. So I started with the Old Testament. And there's just so much you can get from the Old Testament. Lots of stories about how God moved in people's lives and how he gave them courage and strength and passion to do His will. People like Moses, who is credited for writing the first five books of the Old Testament. Some would call that word the Septuagint. Genesis through Deuteronomy. And then came people like Joshua and Samuel, David. David who wrote the Psalms. And Solomon who wrote the Proverbs and Lamentations. Jeremiah, who was credited for a few books. And there are many other Old Testament writers with the other minor the minor prophet books that we have. But each of them had a story of how God moved in their lives. Then there's a chart for the New Testament. It was really cool, the first four books of the Gospels to start the New Testament. Two of the men who wrote those books were actual disciples, Matthew and John. While the other two were connected to the Apostle Paul in Mark and Luke. Luke is also credited with writing the book of Acts. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul himself wrote half, is given credit by writing half of the books that are in the New Testament. And listen, throughout all of these, God used all these men and women. And these are people who had checkered pasts, who were people that you would have thought, why in the world do they have any business writing this book? So people like, think about David, King David, who was anointed by God as the second king of Israel. And he flourished under God's influence in making Jerusalem a powerful city and Israel a powerful nation. But he let pride get in the way. And once that hit, he fell into sin. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He lied. But yet God took a broken man like David, reminded him who God was, and David recognized that God was still with him despite his sin. You take a look at the life of Peter, a disciple who was one of the first disciples, so he probably thought, and he's had a temperament about him that made him think, well, I must be the best disciple because I stepped out on faith. I walked on water like Jesus did. He's on cloud nine a lot of times. He even told Jesus, man, I would die for you. And he did a lot of bragging on a lot of different things at times. And yet he was the one who denied Jesus three times when he was asked, hey, are you with these men? And despite that, you think Jesus would have kicked him to the curb. But no, Jesus, after his resurrection, pulls Peter aside, asks him three times, do you love me? And after the third time, Peter said, you know all things. You know I love you. And Jesus charged him with taking care of his sheep. So there's so much that we can glean out of the words that are in these letters. Now, let me just pause for just a moment here. Think about this word. You've heard me probably mention this word, especially if you've been, over the last 8 weeks, if you've been hearing me preach, you've heard me say this word, glean, right? And probably some of you have heard of that word before, others of you may not have. Well, the definition of that word actually is to extract, to collect gradually, bit by bit, to gather. And when we say, let's glean from God's word, listen, we can try to read it all at once we want to, but we're not going to get anything out of it, are we? We have to take the moments where God is speaking to us through these letters and take those pieces that we need, put them in the storehouse of our heart, and at that point, when it's time to apply it, God will open that up. That's why the Word of God is so important, to continue to be in and glean and just really gather in what the Word of God says. There's some great scriptures that I just want to take a moment and just read for you that I think are just a beautiful description of how we should love on the Word of God. The first one is Psalm 119, 9 through 16. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I will declare all your rules of your mouth. In the way of the testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in the statutes and I will not forget your word. And then saying in that same chapter, 105, how your word is a lamp to my feet and and a light to my path. I love Joshua 1:8 that says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Job 23:12 is a beautiful description as well. "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." And this leads right into what Jesus says in Matthew 4:4 when he was asked, "Hey, turn these stones to bread if you're hungry." And Jesus goes on to say, "Listen, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then you have 1 Peter 2:2-3 that says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that is by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." And then finally, 2 Peter 1:19-21. And I love this. "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed to you, will be done well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing that first of all, that no prophecy in Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Wow. You just soak that in for just a moment and understand how if we can just shift something in us that would just allow us to look at the Word of God and what we can glean from it, it will truly renew us this year. Let's let that lead us to the letter R. The letter R is resolve to live a life of holiness. And I chose intentionally the word resolve because here the definition of the word resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action. Catch that word, firmly. That you're going to resolve to live a life of holiness. I turn our attention back to 1 Peter 1:14-16 to understand this. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." It feels like every single person that I've talked to about this, whenever they hear this, some reason we get apprehensive, tighten up, cringe. And you maybe get a tingle down our spine. Because for some reason, we have it built in us to think that it's impossible for us, even as a Christian, it's impossible for us to be holy. I would ask why. Why do we already answer that question ahead of time and not give the opportunity to even look at that? In this case, I want us to take I think there's a misconception that we need to understand about what it means to be holy in the sight of God. In this passage, the Greek word for holy is aios. And if you've ever heard the definition of holy, it means to separate, to be separated out. And so, with this understanding, the idea is for us not to feel like it's anything that we do, but it is the understanding that to be separate, to be pulled out of something, to be God's. So God wants to take us and separate us to himself. And some people are like, "Well, Chip, how do you illustrate that?" So you're not feel like you're always living a life that things that we do that might make us feel guilty or shameful and so forth. Well, I was reading an article this week in preparation for this message about a professor from a Christian university who illustrated it this way. How many guys, folks, know what this is? Who said sugar? A Tootsie Pop. Okay, go ahead and put that on the slide there for us, Doug. Yeah, look at there. Tootsie Pops. How many of you have at least at some point in your life had a Tootsie Pop before? Oh, if you have not, we're about to make your day. Okay? What I have in my hand is a Tootsie Pop. Now, just because it's in my hand, does that really make it mine? No, it doesn't. You're right. Even if I unwrap it. By the way, this is a red color. Kind of represents that Georgia color, don't you think, Rodney? That's kind of cool. And just because I've unwrapped it, does it really make it mine? Who said not yet? That was a good answer. That's a good answer. You're right. It's only mine when I do this. Do you want it now?
Sure.
You sure you want it now? Who really wants this now? Megan?
No.
Morgan? Okay. Oh, all right. Well, I think most of you have now in your minds think, this is mine now. All mine. All right. Here's the point. We weren't gods until we allowed our lives to take Him on. So we've been washed with the blood of Christ. That makes us holy. Just like me putting a lollipop in my mouth and licking on it. Nobody else is going to want it at that point because I've separated it from everyone else. That's what it can be when you are separated for God to be holy. It's the Word of God and it's the blood of Christ that allows that to happen. By the way, at the end of today's service, each and every one of you can walk away with a lollipop at the end of the service. So Megan will be at the back door and we'll have someone else at the back door on the other side. Feel free to take one home with you today. But what this means now, see, it's not anything you do. It's not anything that we can try and do. It is simply accepting God, accepting the blood of Christ. And what does that do? It makes us complete with God. Holiness is about being complete with God. And with this understanding, we're going to move into the next point because they're going to overlap together. The letter O, our understanding of obedience to God, needs an adjustment. So continuing this idea of being separate, being holy, it takes a willingness, it takes a humility, it takes a submission to the realization that God's ways are truly better. That we need to adopt the Word of God into our lives based on being obedient to the commands of Christ. See, when we take the time to actually look at the Word of God, when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, when you look at all that I mentioned last time out when we were doing our series with Pursuing the King at Christmas, we talked about the commands of God and what are those commands? How can we start applying those commands to our lives? Because here's what really separates people who just say they believe. It's when they live what they believe. So here's the point. Those who live what they believe, they demonstrate this obedience. It's not just going out there and saying, hey, yeah, I believe. How have you separated yourself as a Christian in following the ways of God? It's how you live what you believe. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Romans 12, 1 through 2. It gives a blueprint for how we should live this out. Let's listen to these words. Romans 12, 1 through 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern What is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect? Because when you make a shift in your thinking and living out the words of God, you take your faith several steps up. And here's an aspect, though, of obedience I think we need to understand. This is the adjustment. Many folks believe, and this, we're taught this, early age and so forth, that if we do something for someone, we're going to get rewarded for it. I think if we take this approach with God, we got to be careful with it. So, at an early age, you know, let's say, if you take out the trash as a kid, you're going to get an allowance. Hey, you might even get a lollipop. But, now let me ask this question. Do you think that if we get something for following Jesus' commands? Yes. You thought I was going to say no, huh? No, yes. Yes. We get something out of it, but here's the thing. I think we equate it way too often with things that are of this world, that are earthly, that are physical, that are material. We think that if we do something for God, that He's going to bless us with an increase in finances. Or we're going to get, and this isn't all bad things, so just hear me out here. Maybe if you know, I'm obedient to God, He's going to give me a new job. Hey, that happens. That's awesome. If it's going to be, maybe it's going to be getting a reward of some sort. But sometimes I think because we live here in the physical, we live here where we're surrounded by the material, we often forget that the things we get back for obedience to Jesus are spiritual. They're heavenly. In fact, the Bible, I think, talks about how we should store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And I think we often look too often at the physical things. Well, God does that. He blesses that. I know folks in here who have been blessed by God, by being obedient to God. And God has rewarded them to continue to show that He is present in our everyday lives right here. But the things we need to start always storing up are the things that are spiritual, that will strengthen us and increase our faith in living what we believe. In fact, let me illustrate it this way. Jesus, there's a story here that Jesus had just finished trying to convince a young man who was wealthy that if you sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me, you will have true eternal life. Well, this young man went away sad, because he had great wealth and he didn't want to part with it. And the disciples, after a little bit of going back and forth with Jesus, basically came and said, listen, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be for us? And I don't know if the disciples were thinking spiritual or earthly. But here's what Jesus' response was in Matthew chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. This is what it reads. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last first. What a unique description from Jesus about this, about our obedience and the Word of God, that we should reap and search for the spiritual things that we can store. And that's tough because we can't always see those in the moment. It's kind of interesting when we see it in hindsight, right? But we have to have faith to go through the season in which we're going through. And in order to come out and see the blessings that God has. It's interesting how God works that way. Sometimes I think we all wish it would just be obvious and evident. But remember, God doesn't think like we do. His ways aren't our ways. So therefore, He's God. And he's not trying to play cat and mouse games with us. He's just trying to share with us and teach us in the moments that we personally go through. Whether you are in your 90s or in your teens, okay? God is still teaching you. God is still showing you what you need to grow in your spiritual life. So we've talked about the letter G, gleaning from God's word to always renew us, that we should resolve to live a life of holiness, and that our understanding of obedience to God needs adjusting. Now we come to the final part in how God will grow in Christ. Now Lexington Christian Church will grow in Christ. And that is, with God and His Word, your growth will have no limits. I didn't say there wouldn't be obstacles. I said there would be no limits. And I want to conclude our time today by rereading 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 17 through 25. Because we read it earlier, but we were just reading it to just introduce something. Now that you know about gleaning from God's Word, how you can resolve to be holy, and how your understanding of obedience, I think we might read these words and see them a little differently. See if you agree with me. Starting verse 17 again. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. Word of God. It will be our anchor. It will be our foundation. Yes, Lord. And I don't know about you. For 2018, I'm hoping that I haven't arrived. I know I haven't. And I hope that you will look at this year for yourself personally and for 2018 as a church, that we will be the ones to glorify God. Because here's what I know about God. God is still seeking us. And He'll be this way until He sends Jesus to take us home. He will consistently seek us with a vigor and a zeal that'll be, we can't even fathom. I can't even express it in words, to be honest. It's going to be something that's going to absolutely transform us if we are willing to accept it. If we are willing to accept the blood of Christ as a gift from Him to cleanse us from our sin. If we're willing to accept the fact that we need to repent and change the life that we have been living, that it is outside of Christ, and we need to take on a new life. That we're willing to confess that. That we're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that we are willing to be obedient in that final step of being, allowing ourselves to be immersed, to be baptized into the name of Christ. To bring it all together, to be complete. I know all of us at some point, maybe we've done that, maybe we haven't. If you haven't, I hope today will be the day you decide that. Decide that you will grow in Christ. You will do what you need to do. Let us come alongside you if you need help with that. Talk to me. Talk to John. Talk to Jimmy. Talk to any of the other elders here. Talk to other people who have been seasoned in their life in Christ. Lean on each other. Take what we started at the end of last year, and let's carry it over into this year. And let's do some amazing things for the Lord. We're going to stand and sing. And I hope if you need to make a decision today, I'll be here in the front. We encourage you to come forward. And we'll pray with you today or whatever decision you need to make. Today, and we hope that this is the start of several Sundays of just really seeing how God is going to move in our congregation. And we just thank you so much for choosing to be with us today. Two things real quick. Do not forget that if you filled out a card, you can put it on the back table in the back as you're leaving today. And then don't forget, you got a special little gift that will be given to you at the end. Megan and it looks like Dora are going to be back at the doors. Take you a lollipop home if you want. We got plenty. We shouldn't run out, even for the kids in Kids Zone as well, okay? And if you know someone that's not here and you want to give them a lollipop today, hopefully you will remember. You will be separated out unto God so that you can do awesome things together and be complete in Him. Let's pray, and thank you again for being here today. Father, we love you. We thank you. And to your name be honor and glory as we start off 2018 together. And as we look forward to your leading, we look forward to how you will move in this church. Father, we only know that we can only be people who plant seed, and we can be who can water it, but it is you who makes things grow. We trust in those words by the Apostle Paul as we move forward in 2018 to grow in Christ, to serve in love, and to make disciples. Thank you, Father, and it's in your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.